Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Let's go on a bike trip, a silent one. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's advanced program. I'm Linda, your host. Today, we are looking at our lifestyle article. It is a 3-day article, so we are starting the first day of it today, July 6th. The article is entitled, The Thrill of Cycling in Silence. And to help me to discuss this article is Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Linda. Hi, everyone. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. I am a bike lover, as you know, so I am really excited about this article. Cycling is something that I love to do, and I can almost 100% relate to what the author is talking about. Like, everything he says, I am in agreement with, because I also like to cycle, not wearing any headphones or, you know, not being attached to any media. I like to cycle in silence. So this article really relates to me.
Yeah, me too. I don't bike nearly as much as you do, but I've gone on a couple long, fairly long bike rides in my life, and some long walks sometimes too. And I don't know, you know, maybe it's just you and I are part of a generation that didn't really grow up with audio and video being so
Accessible
and ubiquitous. Big word there. Ubiquitous just means you're surrounded by it. It's everywhere.
But I think it was quite accessible. I mean, there have always been like some sort of portable music device that we can use regardless of what form it was. But I think it's like, for me, it's always been around. Like there's always that option, like, to put on headphones. It's just, it was never that important to me to always have music with me or accompanying me. But I do know people who couldn't live without, you know, without their music with them. Mm. And so maybe it's just, yeah, priority or what is important to us, like, because we both love music. I mean, we're music lovers as well. So it's just when we listen to music or like cycling or walking, those are times when maybe we don't feel we need to have music or be listening to something.
Yeah, I'll listen to music on headphones if I'm in a vehicle, if I'm traveling in a car, a train, a bus, a plane. But somehow when I'm traveling outside on a bike or walking, it just doesn't occur to me. I've done it. I understand the appeal of it. It's kind of interesting. You know, you put on some music, you go for a walk and a bike ride, and it's like your travel becomes a video for the music, almost, because it's the visual that is now matching the music that you hear. But it's just, I'm like, okay, you know, that's neat, but I'm just as happy to just listen to the sounds around me.
Yeah, I think I find enough stimulation in the sounds around me when I'm on the bicycle. And we'll hear a lot more about this from our author as we go through the article. But since we're talking about cycling and going on bike trips, what's the longest cycling trip that you've gone on?
Yeah, well, like I say, I'm not quite in your class of biking, but the longest trip I ever went on was about 32 kilometers round trip, I want to say, roughly 20 miles. Again, that's round trip. I was a teenager at the time. I was very into video games, and in those days, the best video games were always in the arcades, in the, you know, places where they would have the games, and you had to put money into them to play them. This wasn't home video yet. And there was this great arcade in a town about 11 miles away from me. And so one time, I'd been there before when I'd gone there in a car, but one time, it was a nice day, late spring or something, it was a Saturday, so I just thought, hey, you know, let me bike to that town, and I'll be able to play my favorite video games there. And it was nice. It was a nice bike ride. I was living in a sort of a countryside beach community out on Long Island, just east of New York City. So it was actually very nice. But it was tiring enough that I was like, okay, I don't need to go to that arcade every week now, or maybe even every month.
And how old were you?
Oh, I must have been about 15.
Okay,
16.
So you're a teenager. Yeah. Okay, so it was a while back. All right.
It was a while back.
Okay, but it's good to have a destination for a cycling trip. I think as any trip, it makes it like you have a goal, you have somewhere to be, and so you know exactly where you need to go.
Yeah.
And I think that is good when I'm cycling to know where I'm going, so they do have a goal. Although, like the journey in itself is also really nice, just being able to observe the scenery and what's going on. But it's always nice to have a destination that you're biking to. So you know, like, you have to get there before you give up biking. All right. So, and I've cycled a lot. Probably the longest bike ride that I've done is around the island. Not completely around the island, but most of the island in one trip. Mm. And it is beautiful. You get to see all types of scenery, and I would highly recommend it. Okay, so let's get into our article and hear what Clive Thompson has to say about cycling.
The thrill of cycling in silence. Going media-free on a cross-country bike trip. When I was cycling across the country on my bike, I spent anywhere from 6 to 9 hours a day in the saddle for almost 3 solid months. It made a lot of people wonder, what did you listen to all day long? Was it mostly music or more like audiobooks, podcasts? Asked a friend. What was on your playlist? Nothing, I said. She frowned slightly, as if she'd misheard me. What do you mean, nothing? I mean, nothing. I don't listen to anything when I ride, I replied. I don't even wear earbuds. You could see the wheels of her mind grind to a standstill. What? You just ride along in what? In total silence? More or less, I said, laughing. All day long? Yeah. She was gobsmacked. I would go completely out of my mind.
So Clive Thompson is the author of our article, and it's his experience on cycling in silence. So our deck is going media-free on a cross-country bike trip. So he doesn't listen to anything while he's cycling. And this is on a cross-country bike trip. So what does cross-country mean here?
Right. Cross-country, kind of self-explanatory, where you take a trip across the country.
Right, exactly. But it can also have another meaning, right? Because there are cross-country sports. What do those consist of?
Exactly. And they call them cross-country sports because, unlike sports that take place on a particular field, in a particular stadium, or in the case of running sports, on a track where you just go around and around however many times, cross-country sports, you run across country. You run for several kilometers. The race is usually a big loop of some sort. I ran cross-country in high school, in fact, and I always preferred it, actually, because it's like going for a little hike, except that you're racing against other people at
the
same time.
It's a lot more interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because you're running over natural terrain.
Right.
And if you're doing cross-country cycling, same thing. You're going over natural terrain, not on paved roads. And so there is a lot more to look at. It's
although
a lot more
I think our author is using the term a bit generally, because we do read later on that he does spend some time biking on roads. So I think cross-country here may have not necessarily the meaning that he's going through cornfields and through people's backyards and such, although it can mean that sometimes, but also just that he's going across the country.
Yeah, I think here he's meaning across the country.
Yeah.
He's taking a trip that goes across the country.
Right, yeah.
But it can also mean a particular type of cycling or running.
Exactly.
So When he was cycling across the country on his bicycle, he spent anywhere from 6 to 9 hours a day in the saddle for almost 3 solid months. I have not cycled continuously for 3 solid months. My longest is probably like a couple weeks, just cycling every day. But I probably wouldn't mind cycling for 3 solid months because when I did the, 2 week period, I wanted it to continue for as long as possible. But he's doing it for most of the day. It's a full work day, six to nine hours
in the saddle. Nice expression there from the Old West when people rode around in horses, which the saddle is the seat on the horse that you ride on. And we use it nowadays to ride on a motorbike or a bicycle in this case, or just any normal position that you're in to move something. You know, when you could say, oh, I was sick for a week, but now I'm back at the job. I'm back in the saddle. I'm back in, the place where I operate from.
Yeah, and it's also literal, too. You can call the seat the saddle on the bicycle as well. So after probably a day, the first day or two, you will really feel sore in your saddle. But then you get used to it, and it doesn't hurt anymore. So he shared about his cycling trip, it made a lot of people wonder, what did you listen to all day long? And friends would ask him, was it mostly music, audiobooks, podcasts? Because we have all these options now, right? Mm-hmm. And so the question now is, what's on your playlist? Do you hear this question often?
Not often, no. It could just be a reflection of the kind of circles I move in, the kind of people I know.
But people will ask, oh, what are you listening to?
Sure, right? Sure. What are you listening to? Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, in fact, it brings up a question, Linda, since you have done most of the biking here. If you were to, you said you don't, but if you were to listen to something while you go on your long-distance bike rides, do you think it would be music, audiobooks, or podcasts?
I would probably listen to music because it requires less brain power on my part. Although I would love to listen to an audiobook during the time that I ride, especially if it's long distance, to be able to say, oh, well, on this trip, I, listened to a whole book, or I finished this book, or finished this podcast, I think it would be too distracting. Like, I would get too into it. I wouldn't be able to pay attention to the road. And our author does get into this, like the reasons why he also doesn't listen to music or media in general.
Do you think it'd be different if you were driving a car?
Well, I do listen to music when I drive. Here I don't, but in the States, I would listen to the radio usually. And the radio, I guess, it's kind of like a podcast sometimes. Radio programs can be seen as podcasts.
Radio, where they just have a couple of people on and they talk or they field calls from listeners.
Yeah, I feel I'm more on autopilot when I'm driving, so I don't have to worry so much about not paying attention to the road. Yeah, I don't know. And also, in the car, I'm not able to enjoy the scenery as much because I'm in an enclosed in the car with the windows up. Usually, if you're on the highway, it's also it's different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. than cycling. Well, our author, after being asked what's on your playlist, he said nothing. And so what was the reaction of the person he was talking to?
Right. Well, it says that she frowned slightly. We sometimes frown when we're angry, but she just frowned slightly, which means she's kind of confused, doesn't get it yet. As if she'd misheard me. What do you mean? Nothing. I mean nothing.
Yeah. I don't listen to anything when I ride. I don't even wear earbuds. And then you get this image, you could see the wheels of her mind grind to a standstill. I like the imagery that he concocts here. And he'll use a lot of imagery throughout this article. So what does he mean here? Does something actually come to a standstill? Does it actually stop?
Right. Well, obviously, it's an image. It's a figurative use of the expression to grind to a standstill. Think of those film footage you've maybe seen of old-time factories where they had these huge wheels and sprockets turning gears and moving these giant levers. And if something went wrong, the machine would slowly come to a stop. And to slowly come to a stop, another way to say that is to grind to a standstill or grind to a halt, you'll sometimes hear. And so the wheels of her mind, obviously another figurative expression, you could see her mind trying to process the idea of someone who would go on these long distance bike rides and not listen to anything.
Right. So she can't process it. Yeah. So it's like her mind stops. Like, what? You ride all in silent, total silence. Like, she is very shocked. And he says, more or less laughing, and she still can't process all day long.
Clever use of typography here. The author just adds letters to each word to emphasize how she's drawing it out to try and make sense of it as she's saying the word.
Yeah, so it's like really hard for her to comprehend. And then we get this word, she was gobsmacked. And this is a bit informal, a bit of slang.
A bit British, actually.
Yeah, it's been used in American vernacular as well. But what does it mean?
Right. Well, to be gobsmacked is, think of the expression, you know, my mouth fell open. To be utterly amazed or shocked or surprised so that you don't know what to do, don't know what to say, you're just gobsmacked. And I say it kind of is a British expression. We do hear it in America too, but the British slang for mouth is gob, G-O-B, gob. Shut your gob, you don't know what you're talking about. So to be gobsmacked is
like slapped in the face,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
You're just like so shocked. It feels like you've been slapped in the mouth or the face.
Exactly.
So she responds, I would go completely out of my mind. She would go crazy because what are you doing? What are you thinking of? You have nothing to occupy your mind all day long on this bicycle, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's really hard for her to comprehend. And we'll get some other words to describe the shock, right, that she feels or other people feel when they hear of how he rides in silence, rides without any sort of media. All right, so let's continue our reading now.
And my friend wasn't alone in her astonishment. Nearly everyone, upon learning that I'd raw-dogged a 4,150-mile cross-country cycling trip, looked utterly dumbstruck, bereft, almost. I began to realize that while most people think it's pretty daunting to cycle the entire U.S., they can vaguely imagine what it would be like as a physical challenge. Daunting, sure, but you just put your butt in the saddle and keep going, and you'll get there. They don't want to do that epic, exhausting ride, but they can comprehend it. But the idea of avoiding all media all day long, they have no mental equipment to imagine that. It completely breaks their model of how the world works. Except here's the thing. It's kind of awesome. Silence is golden. I am not some sort of anti-technology, anti-screens guy. I don't avoid media on principle, like one of our modern wild-eyed destroy-your-phone desert prophets. Quite the opposite. Even when I'm on a road cycling trip, I use my phone a ton to navigate, to check the weather, or just to dork around on social media. But during the act of cycling itself, silence, it turns out, is golden.
We learn that the friend of our author is not alone in her astonishment about him not listening to anything when going on a cross-country bike trip. Nearly everyone, upon hearing that he'd raw-dogged a 4,150-mile cross-country cycling trip, were shocked, right? Mm-hmm. And we get this word here to describe his choice to not listen to media. And what is that word?
Right. Dumbstruck. Quite similar to gobsmacked, actually. In both cases, you're being smacked or struck. And gobsmacked, it's your mouth, your gob, that's being smacked as a way of communicating how surprised or shocked you are. And dumbstruck literally means to be struck dumb, not to be struck stupid so that you don't know anything, that sense of dumb, but dumb in the sense of not being able to speak.
Right. And it might look like these two words are hyphenated, but it's actually a dash between
right.
dumbstruck and bereft. So he's so dumbstruck or shocked or whoever he's talking to that they're to the point of being or looking bereft. And if you are bereft, that's a pretty strong description, right?
Yeah, he's being a little dramatic.
Yes, yes.
For comical purposes.
But almost to the point of being bereft. You put an almost at the end. Like when you're bereft, you are bereaved, you are sad. We use this word if you have lost someone, right? If you have lost a loved one, you are at a loss. You're very sad. So he's being a little exaggerative in the description.
Yeah, although, again, you can see how it's kind of related to dumbstruck because you could be bereft of words.
Mm-hmm.
You could be speechless, not have anything to say, and that's another way to express, you know, incomprehension.
That's true, yes. And going back a little further, he uses a word, an informal term, it's a bit of slang, to describe how he did his cycling trip. And this word is raw dog. When you raw dog something, that means that you don't have any entertainment, right? You don't.
No.
In this case, he's not listening to any music, podcast, or audiobook. If you raw dog 10-hour flight, it also means that you do it without any entertainment.
Right. Like, kind of like roughing it, another
mm-hmm.
expression we have. Nothing that makes something easier. You do without that.
Yeah. But it's a very informal term.
Yeah.
And can
yeah,
also
you don't
have
want
other
to use this
that,
in your
yeah.
Nobel acceptance speech.
Right. And also has other meanings that we won't get into. But yeah, just know that it's quite slang. Okay. So he began to realize that while most people think it's pretty daunting to cycle the entire U.S., they can vaguely imagine what, you know, it would be like as a physical challenge. So daunting just means intimidating. That might be a little scared or frightened, just maybe a little overwhelmed with this physical challenge, but they can pretty much understand it, right? I don't know. I think people that I talk to when I talk about like riding, even when just like riding in the city, because I usually bike everywhere I'm going, so it's like it takes like 45 minutes to get somewhere, and they'll just be, really? You rode that far? Like, oh, they're always in astonishment. It's like, oh, well, it's just, you know, it's just my mode of transportation.
But how about when you tell them you didn't listen to any music? Do they have a...
Well, we never get to that point. Yes, see, we never get to that point because they're just like, so awestruck that you rode this far. It's like, I never get to the point. Like, what did you listen to? Yeah, I don't think they, ever get that follow-up question.
Yeah, that'd be more than they could comprehend.
So it is a bit daunting, right? It's a bit intimidating, sure, but you just put your butt in the saddle and keep going. And eventually you'll get there. They don't want to do that epic, exhausting ride, but they can comprehend it. But what about the idea of avoiding media all day long?
That they cannot comprehend that. That is just, as far as the author is concerned, that is beyond, they have no mental equipment
mm-hmm.
to imagine that. It's like, asking someone to imagine a square circle or something. It breaks their model of how the world works.
Yeah.
Now, he's obviously exaggerating a bit, but it is interesting that his friends would be more able to grasp the concept of biking across the United
mm-hmm.
States, you know, but the idea of not listening to music at the same time while you're doing that, or podcasts or
mm-hmm.
audiobooks or anything.
Right. Yeah. It's really hard for them to imagine. But our author says that it's kind of awesome. Yeah, this is the thing. Like, actually not listening to anything is pretty awesome.
Right. And that's what he means, not the fact that they can't comprehend it. He means what's kind of awesome is going along in silence.
Yeah, and we have probably heard this saying before, silence is golden, right?
Yes.
You might hear this or might see this come up in a movie theater, right? Mm-hmm. Or a theater, like silence is golden, to remind people to be quiet, right?
Yeah. Speech is silver, silence is golden.
Yeah. When times you need to be quiet and just listen, and it can really work in your benefit. So he describes himself as not some sort of anti-tech guy, anti-screens guy. He's not anti-phone because he actually needs to use the phone while he's on the bicycle. But he, you know, people might think that he avoids media based on principle, but that's not the case. He's not one of, and he has this long description here, he's not one of those modern, wild-eyed, destroy your phone, desert prophets.
Yeah, it's sort of referencing prophets or so-called self-styled prophets in the early first millennium who would leave the cities because they felt the cities were bad and full of corruption, and they would go out to the desert and live very simply. They would live among the rocks and such like that and just shun the civilized world completely because they thought there was greater purity in that.
Right. Go off grid, be against technology, against phones, but he's not like that. He said he uses a phone to navigate, to check the weather, or to just dork around on social media. And this just means like he's just playing around. He's just scrolling through social media like we all do. So he's not anti-phone. He just doesn't use it on his bicycle when he's on his cycling trips. And this last line, again, he says, but what during the act of cycling itself, silence, it turns out, is golden. So he will stick to this saying because, yeah, it's pretty awesome not listening to anything while he's cycling. And we'll get into more on why he prefers silence when he's cycling in tomorrow's program. So be sure to come back tomorrow. For now, I'm Linda.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.